you're just now planning to travel for next week's total solar eclipse, you're a little behind. Hotels are booked up and campgrounds are sold out in the narrow path stretching from Maine to Texas, where the full eclipse will be visible. Nearly 4 million people are expected to make the trip to be in that path of totality, according to cartographer Michael Zeiler. And some of you are taking part.
This is Mike. I'm calling from Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. My wife and I plan to drive to the Cleveland area in Ohio to watch the solar eclipse. We'll be prepared to drive a few hours in any direction based on the weather in order to have our best shot at seeing the eclipse.
Emergency declarations are being put in place in anticipation of the surge. That burst of travel has led to a spending boom in many areas, and local businesses are taking advantage of the extra foot traffic, from watch parties to solar eclipse-themed menus. After the break, we explore how cities and local businesses are preparing for the spending boom, and how should you prepare if you plan on traveling to see the solar event. I'm Jen White. You're listening to the 1A Podcast, where we get to the heart of the story. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Joining me now is Tom Traub. He's a NASA-partnered eclipse ambassador. He's also the vice president of the Marshall Martz Memorial Astronomical Association in New York. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, Tom, there are people buying plane tickets. They're driving thousands of miles to see the eclipse next week. Why are people so excited about this event?
If you've never experienced a total solar eclipse, you're in for a huge surprise. It's a very significant experience. It's something that is different to every individual. It's probably one of the most memorable things you'll have in your life. Usually after you've seen one, you want to see more.
How rare is this event?
On any one given place on the Earth, you can expect a total solar eclipse to occur over that particular spot once every 350 to 400 years.
Wow. Now, Tom, we're hearing a lot about this path of totality. Explain exactly what that means.
The path of totality is where the shadow cone of the moon, in other words, underneath that, you are totally in the shadow of the moon and no portion of the sun is visible. It creates the darkest portion of the skies. It creates the most effects. And that path races across the Earth, depending upon the motions of the Earth and the moon in space.
So if you're watching this and you're in that path of totality, what should you expect to see?
The first thing is you're going to see the sky darken, and it's going to get like twilight. You'll see the brighter stars and planets, but the most awesome aspect of the whole thing is where the sun should be is going to be this black hole in the sky, and around it this pearly white outer atmosphere called the corona of the sun, which is normally covered over by the brilliancy of the photosphere of the sun. It should be an exciting event for everybody, and we don't know what it's going to look like yet because we don't know what the solar activity is going to be on the day of the eclipse.
Now, in some areas, the weather forecast is predicting clouds or rain. So how will the weather impact the viewing?
Well, the weather can add an extra touch to it in some cases by extra highlighting of the shadow of the moon racing over you. It could dim some portions of the eclipse where you may not be able to see some of the stars in the sky and that, but you would still see the sun and the corona and everything that goes on right around there. The corona is actually about as bright as the full moon.
Well, we got this email from Bill in North Carolina who says, a few siblings and friends and I are traveling from various points east to west Texas for the eclipse. I've been planning this for almost 3 years. It feels a little crazy to spend so much money and energy for such a brief event, but after experiencing the 2017 total eclipse, among the most moving and impressive experiences of nature I've ever had, I decided I needed to do it again. Tom, take us back to your first eclipse experience. Describe it for us. What was it like? What did you feel?
Well, it was absolutely awesome. I was 13 years old. It was the March 3rd, 1970 eclipse that went across the eastern coast of the United States. And believe it or not, this is part of that same cycle. For me, it's like going back 54 years to my beginning of eclipses.
Now, one note you wanted to bring up is how to safely view the eclipse. Please give us some guidance.
Yes. First of all, you want to have safe solar glasses. By that case, what we're talking about, they should have the designation ISO 12312-2 on them. That means that that's an international standard by which you can safely observe the sun when it's uncovered, whether it's totally uncovered or all the way up until 99.9% of the sun is covered by the moon.
And so what will that eclipse look like through those glasses?
You will be able to see the shape of the moon as it's coming across the sun. If there's any solar storms called sunspots on the sun, and they're large enough, you'll be able to see those on there. Right at the last moment, just before totality, there will be valleys along the edge of the moon where the last bits of sunlight will be still uncovered. They're called Bailey's beads, and they only last for just a few moments before totality or just right after totality.
Now, some counties are putting in place emergency protocols. What kinds of issues may they run up against?
A lot of it has to do with traffic. You're looking at millions of people coming into the eclipse path, and many of these highways and roads going into the areas are going to be overloaded, and that's going to slow down traffic. It could create issues for emergency services to make a response. So they're looking at those aspects of it. We want people to have this as a pleasant experience.
So if people are traveling into a city or town, how should they prepare?
Well, first of all, another thing that was learned from the eclipses in 2017 were restaurants ran out of food. Hmm. Gas stations ran out of gas. Restrooms were full and closed. So bring some extra food for you, so that you will have something to eat, especially on the way out afterwards. You know, top off your car, your tank, before you drive out or just when you get there before the eclipse, because afterwards it may be harder to get those.
Well, that's Tom Traub. He's a NASA partner eclipse ambassador. He's also the vice president of the Marshall Martz Memorial Astronomical Association. We're going to head to a quick break. When we return, an economist walks us through the sky-high dollars cities are expecting to rake in thanks to the eclipse. Nearly 4 million people are expected to travel for next week's total solar eclipse. According to an estimate from the economic research firm, the Perryman Group, visitors could generate up to $1.6 billion in expenditures across the U.S. One alpaca farm in Texas is preparing. Aubrey Williamson is the owner of Sundance Hill Farm in Dripping Springs, Texas, which will be in the path of totality.
I'm very much an entrepreneur and always thinking of new revenue streams and things like that. And, you know, we heard about the eclipse coming here, gosh, like a year plus in advance, you know, the buzz started. And so I kind of just like waited it out for a little while and was like, I should plan something. I don't know. And then I started hearing how everything's getting sold out and there's, you know, Airbnbs and people are renting out their houses and all of this stuff. And so about a month or two ago, I finally just like, you know what, screw it. We're doing this event. See if we have any takers. And we've had some decent interest so far. I'm doubling this as sort of a fundraiser for the farm. We need a lot of improvements. And so I'm like, all of the money goes to improving, you know, the animals' living situations, building newer shelters, all of that kind of stuff.
That's Aubrey Williamson, the owner of Sundance Hill Farm in Dripping Springs. That's a town just west of Austin, Texas, where lots of you have plans to watch the eclipse. Sarah emails, my husband and I are traveling from South Carolina to Austin, Texas. We're meeting our children and their spouses who are coming from California and Germany. The eclipse will be fabulous, made more so by vacationing with our children. Let's turn to our guests to hear all about the eclipse tourism and economics. Joining us from Texas is economist Ray Perryman. He's the president and CEO of the Perryman Group. Been a professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. Ray, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And with us from Pennsylvania is Emily Biddle. She's the director of marketing and research at Visit Erie. Erie is Pennsylvania's largest city in the eclipse's path. Emily, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Ray, you're predicting $1.6 billion in direct eclipse-related spending in the U.S., but the downstream effects could be far higher. Talk us through the numbers you're expecting.
Sure. I mean, basically, as you mentioned, there's about 30 million people who live within the area. They may be traveling short distances. You have about 4 million people who will move into the area, and at least 1 million of those are likely to come from one state to another, that is, cross state lines and spend money in a different state. And they're going to be spending money on restaurants. They're going to be spending money on travel. They're going to be spending money on hotels. And we have estimated that total will be about $1.6 billion. But that's just the start of the situation, because of that, restaurants will buy more food. There'll be gasoline, so that will start some things in the supply chain. The entire supply chain of the entire country is affected by this, leading to total spending of almost $6 billion.
Emily, you've been preparing for this event for about 2 years now. What kind of preparations is the city of Erie making?
Erie's gathered a group of people about 2 years ago, and this included, you know, business owners as well as folks that work in government, traffic, and safety management. And our group has been working really collaboratively for those 2 years to not only make sure that our region is prepared for a potential influx of travelers, but also that our businesses take advantage of the opportunity. We expect that this is probably going to be the largest single tourism event ever in Erie County, Pennsylvania. But with something like an eclipse, we really don't know. There's not one central location where everybody's going to go. There's not, we've never done it before. So it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. But I really think our community has come together very well to prepare for this from a lot of different angles.
Well, tell us more about how you're working with local businesses to make sure they're prepared for a potential rush.
Yeah, we, you know, at the beginning, it was a lot of messaging about how they can prepare ahead of time, you know, doing food orders ahead of time, making sure that you're well stocked on food and supplies, working with, you know, gas stations to make sure that they were aware well in advance. We were trying to get out in front of it as much as possible to make sure that anyone and everybody in our community was ready. And then lately, it's been more of how we can help them maximize on the opportunity. So working with, you know, restaurants to encourage them to be open. Mondays are typically a day when restaurants are not open and many attractions as well. So we've been working with them to encourage, you know, them to be open, to take advantage, have specials and have fun with it. We've also been working with a lot of various facilities on hosting events and what kind of events and festivals they can hold to try to spread people out. One of our biggest concerns, I think, like most people in the path, is traffic. So as much as we can do to work with these businesses, work with our community to get everybody kind of speaking the same language and all on the same page, I think is going to help us tremendously.
Well, we're still hearing from lots of you. Jody emails, I'll be traveling to Akron with my dog. We have commemorative t-shirts and our special glasses ready. Fortunately, we have family in the area, so accommodation is not an issue, although I'll probably travel early on Sunday to hopefully avoid too much traffic. We also got this message from Susan in North Carolina about hotel bookings in Arkansas.
Myself and three other friends have had reservations since last July for the eclipse. We all have gotten messages from the manager saying our reservations have been canceled due to renovations, overbooking, or some other ridiculous reason. The rooms are available at 3 times the price. So beware for anyone heading in that direction. Price gouging is going on.
Ray, your thoughts? Is eclipse price gouging happening?
Well, I think price gouging has some legal implications, so that may not be the appropriate word, but we are seeing prices of hotels increase dramatically. You can think about this almost like a situation, what if you had a major athletic event like a Super Bowl or something happening in multiple places, in hundreds of places at the same time? I mean, you pay more for a hotel room on the weekend of the Super Bowl than you would another weekend in that town. So you have that type of thing going on. There's a shortage, and supply and demand is dictating higher prices, but we're indeed seeing that across the board, hotel prices being escalated significantly and other things where prices are being increased as well, just because people anticipate there's going to be a shortage and it creates an economic opportunity for them as a supplier to take advantage of it.
What cities or states could be expecting the most amount of foot traffic in dollars, Ray?
Well, I think probably the largest will be Texas, and it's simply a matter of geography. It cuts through a huge swath of Texas. There's about 30 million people who live in the zone of totality, and 12 million of them are in Texas. And it happens to pass through Austin, as has been mentioned before. It passes through Dallas. It passes through Fort Worth and San Antonio. Those are large markets. They have airports. They have a lot of hotels. They have a lot of restaurants. So they're able to accommodate it. And other states who are in similar situations, major cities like Cincinnati, Indianapolis, guess those types of cities would expect a lot. New York is probably the state that will see the second highest level of spending, and we're also expecting significant spending in Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania.
Emily, what do you hope this event does for Erie, and maybe placing it as an area that people can come to when there's not a solar eclipse, but just to have a good time?
Erie is really a fantastic destination, especially for families. Early April is typically not quite our peak season. As you could guess by the name of our city and county, we're named for Lake Erie. We're on the shores of Lake Erie, and we're the only location in Pennsylvania to have a Great Lakes port. So our hope is that people come in for the weekend. They really explore and enjoy our region and what we have to offer. The most visited state park in Pennsylvania is here in Erie. It's Presque Isle State Park, and it's known for its beaches and its access to the water. We want people to see things like that here, have an outstanding time, and then make plans to come back when it's, you know, perhaps a bit warmer in our peak seasons in, you know, June, July, and August.
And what kind of emergency preparations is Erie County putting in place?
Yeah, Erie County, as I said, we've been working together for about 2 years, and in a community like ours, collaboration has really been key. A lot of groups have been working together from, you know, our state transportation department, collaborating with city police and state police, local emergency management agencies, the Coast Guard, because of our location on Lake Erie, all working together to put together emergency management plans. We are so fortunate that, you know, our community has the opportunity to learn from other communities who experienced this in 2017. So all of those emergency management groups also have been in contact with their counterparts in states that were in the path in 2017 to find out what they learned and heed some of that advice. So lots of plans in place to, you know, handle emergencies, reroute traffic, and handle it. Because, you know, as somebody else said, we can never quite be sure what to expect, but we want to be prepared for everything.
Yeah, Ray, what kind of impact could this event have on small towns, especially ones that aren't accustomed to a sudden influx of tourists?
Well, obviously, it's going to be a challenge for them to deal with some of the logistics. But you have towns that have 5,000 people in them that are expecting to see 100,000 people come to visit, and they're not accustomed to that. By the same token, it gives them a chance, like the larger cities, and like some of the things Emily was talking about in Erie, but even the small towns, to show off what it is they have to offer, to show off their quality of life, any amenities they have, anything local that's interesting for people. And I think a lot of these smaller towns are viewing this as an opportunity to really showcase themselves and bring a lot of people in. I think one thing that's happening this time around, even compared to 7 years ago, we're much more social media world than we were back then. So that gives small towns an ability to make themselves known as good locations to view the eclipse without spending a great deal of what's probably pretty limited resources. So the word is getting out about a lot of these small towns. And I've traveled to a number of them in Texas and Indiana and some of the other states and New York. And there's quite a bit of excitement in even the smaller towns about the opportunities they're going to have to bring in people and really showcase their areas.
Let's pause here. In a moment, we hear from one business owner who's pairing wine with the Celestial event. We'll be back with more from you and our guests in a moment. Now back to how cities and businesses are preparing for the solar eclipse rush on Monday. Joseph Daniel is the winemaker and owner of the Tiny Vineyard Wine Company in Sonoma, California. He's also an eclipse chaser himself, and he's put together an eclipse Malbec to commemorate the event. Joseph, welcome to 1A.
Hi there, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been chasing eclipses for 5 years. What kind of eclipse mania are you expecting this year?
It's going to be 100% total mania, as they always are. You know, it's always more than you think when you go out there. There's large crowds gather, and it's just so much fun to be around people when this happens, because it's kind of a collective awe that occurs. And, you know, you get this oh my God coming from 1,000 people at one time when it happens. And so it's just a really wonderful experience.
Where will you be for this eclipse?
We're going to go down to southern Texas to a little town called Utopia, which, you know, it's a great name for the event. And We're hoping for clear skies as well. I mean, part of being an eclipse chaser is that you have to be very mobile. So we haven't made any, we haven't locked ourselves down to a particular place yet. If the clouds are open, 30 miles in one direction or 5 miles in another direction, you have to be able to move to it, because all you're looking for is 4.5 minutes of clear time. But, it's sort of critical if you want to see it.
Now, you've seen eclipses in all different parts of the world. How does the experience differ depending upon where you are?
I watched an eclipse in East Africa in Tsavo National Park, and that was the most remarkable thing because of the animals. It was as if nighttime had come, and there were tribes of baboons that were jumping up into trees. They're all upset about what was happening, and there were bats that came out flying, and there were insects that stopped making any noise whatsoever. And that was a very wild experience. And then we watched an eclipse in Argentina where thousands of people had gathered in a tiny little place that maybe saw a couple hundred people a year ever. And that was an amazing experience because that was a very human experience. So it just depends where you are. Are you going to be out in the wilderness, or are you going to be in a city? I mean, I think this is a remarkable eclipse this time because it's going to give a lot of people the opportunity to view the event from within a cityscape, which you don't normally get. I mean, eclipses tend to happen in very remote areas, and quite often out in the middle of the ocean somewhere. So that's what's going to be really remarkable for that. And as a photographer, I look for that kind of stuff as well, because if you can include in your photographs part of the environment that you're in, it puts it into perspective for you.
So you're a winemaker, and you've been planning the eclipse wine you're selling for this eclipse since 2019. What went into the making?
Well, I've actually been planning it since 2017, because that's when I became aware of this connection between wine being used as a commemorative tool for celestial events. We were down in Oregon at the 2017 eclipse, and there was a little tiny winery there in the Enola Hills that made an eclipse Pinot Noir, which I thought was really fun. And they made, hundreds of cases of it, and they sold hundreds of cases of it. People loved the idea because what it really provided, it provided a libation for them to be able to toast the eclipse, when the sun finally came back and nobody was scared anymore. But it also offered an amazing souvenir to have for the event. And that was sort of our idea. We wanted to make an eclipse Malbec. We were inspired by the Malbec because of the eclipse that we saw in Argentina, which is sort of the center of Malbec production in the world. But we wanted to make a wine that could be used as both something to toast this April 8th event and as something to keep as a souvenir. We're selling as much wine that I'm sure won't even be opened, that people will just keep the closed bottle, as we are that people will use it to toast the event.
What have sales been like leading up to the event?
They've been quite brisk, to tell you the truth. I mean, I made about 75 cases. We're just a very small boutique winery, Tiny Vineyards is. But we were hoping we would be able to sell it out. And, we've got a little bit left. I mean, people could still buy it online at tinyvineyards.com. But it'll probably be sold out within a few days, just based on the interest people have in it. It just seems to have it's strike the right chord with folks.
Now, you said some folks may drink it, some may save it as a souvenir. What does the label look like? Describe that for us.
The label is a photograph of a time-lapse photograph compilation that I shot down in Argentina, where I took a shot of the sun going into totality about, and I shot a picture about every minute or so, I think 1 to 3 minutes, we took an image, and we took it all the way through the sun going into totality, then the totality of the eclipse, and then the sun going back out of totality. And then we merged all those images together. And this is right over the top of the Andes Mountains, so it's really beautiful. So you see this time-lapse image of it's basically a still image of what a movie of the eclipse might look like.
Any advice for people who are seeing this for the first time about how to experience it?
Yeah, I have a good advice. Don't stare at it through your camera. Don't get too fixated on trying to get a picture of it. Spend the moment to really observe the eclipse and experience it. And one really interesting thing to do when you watch an eclipse is watch the eclipse up above you, the sun and the corona and all, but look around you. I mean, one of the most amazing things that's going to happen is you're going to have a 360-degree sunset that appears all around you. And the wonderful sunset colors that go into and then turn into kind of dark indigo all the way up into black, and there's the eclipse in the middle of that. So look around, spend time, take a picture or two, but focus on the experience.
That's Joseph Daniel, the winemaker and owner of Tiny Vineyard Wine Company in California. Joseph, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Emily, what are some small businesses in Erie doing for the eclipse?
There's a couple of beers. You know, we've got two brewing companies that made a special eclipse beer. One of them it was a collaborative beer that was done with the Simons Foundation, that 13 breweries in the Path came up with this beer, and they're selling it. It's called the Path of Totality, 3:16 p.m., which is what time our eclipse takes part. What time Totality starts in Erie. But there's, you know, a potter locally that made these beautiful handcrafted mugs that have our sort of logo that we created for the eclipse. We're calling it in Erie the ultimate sunblock. Erie is known as a beach destination, so we thought that was, you know, kind of fitting. So they've made ultimate sunblock mugs. And then a lot of them, you know, as I mentioned, we're more of a seasonal destination. There's a camp locally that opened up early, and they're having Eclipse Camp. This camp's like located right on the lakefront, and they are offering, you know, sort of all-inclusive pricing to have a cabin and meals and then all those typical kind of classic camp activities. So you can spend 3 days leading up to the eclipse. Our wine country also, Erie's home to the largest grape-growing region east of the Rocky Mountains. And our wine country is having a weekend event as well, where, you know, folks can come in and sample wines and food pairings at all of the 20-plus wineries along Lake Erie Wine Country throughout the weekend, and then on Monday come back to their host winery to watch the eclipse with a group of people and hopefully a good glass of wine in hand.
Now, Visit Erie has put together an outreach campaign for local residents to prepare for April 8th. What are you telling the community to do to get ready?
We're basically telling them, prepare for this and understand that this is not going to be business as usual on April 8th. We launched a campaign locally called Shine. It's five simple things that you can do to really help Erie shine during the total solar eclipse. And that stands for, you know, S is schedule your appointments for another day. If you see the dentist on Monday, reschedule that. H is have a plan, you know, get your gas and groceries in advance. I is inform yourself and others, be prepared to answer questions about what's going on and what visitors can do. N is navigate traffic, or don't stay off the major roadways. Use your knowledge of how to get around so that visitors can utilize the primary roadways. And E is enjoy the moment and recognize how lucky we are to be a part of this. And so that's our message to locals, is really prepare, you know, get prepared ahead of time, maybe stay off the roads, and just really, really enjoy this.
That was Emily Biddle, the Director of Marketing and Research at Visit Erie. Also with us, Ray Perryman. He's the president of the Perryman Group and a professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. Thanks to you both. Today's producer was Michelle Harbin. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.